Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me.
Welcome to It's a Thing. Wait, hi, I'm Molly Wood.
I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we grant you a limited, revocable, non-exclusive, non-transferable, non-sub-licensable license to access and use this episode solely for your personal use. Thank you for joining us.
Indeed, indeed. And you were so excited that you wanted to get right into the disclaimer.
I skipped ahead.
Because not only does it sound like every disclaimer on every term of service that you've ever possibly even glanced at, but it's from the Stanley Cup, not the hockey trophy, the viral sensation.
No one can see me doing this because it's a podcast, but I slowly brought my Stanley into frame and took the world's biggest sip from it. These are the terms of use of Stanley, by the way. It's an irrevocable, non-transferable, non-sublicensable license.
How can something be irrevocable?
A non-sublicensable license.
Wait, it is revocable. It's not irrevocable. It's revocable. You can revoke it.
Right. They can. No, they can.
We can revoke it.
They could come and get it. They could be like, for example, I use my Stanley without the straw. I just drink out of it like it's a really big coffee cup, which my child is
horrified by.
They could be like, you are violating the terms of the license. We will come and we will get that from your
house.
That
straw is ours now. Actually, this is just for use of the website, but I assume it's the same terms on the straw.
Anyway, this is our moment to check in and just say that when we talked about Stanley tumblers on the show, we knew they were a thing. Did not know, one thing that we haven't yet completely nailed the science.
Wrapping our little tiny heads around.
Of predicting when a thing is going to go abso-freaking-lutely supernova.
Like, for instance, when there will be child versions of the thing, because it's such a big thing.
There's a baby one. Like, for babies, like a sippy cup.
Sippy cup.
I think Temu, at this point, has just morphed from being a whatever website to a website that only sells Stanley accessories, like little snack trays that fit over the top of the Stanley.
Yeah, there's nothing else left. The world is Stanley now.
Like, I guess the 45-ounce one will perfectly hold a Haagen-Dazs pint. I mean, like, it's amazing.
Yeah. You can eat your ramen out of it. Doesn't matter. Everything's
there. It's the thing of 2024. Make
Dalgona in it. Listen to your Lil Nas X in it.
Exactly. I don't think it's too soon to declare it the thing of 2024.
No, it's only January 24th, and I feel confident in that.
Yeah.
But bring it on. Bring it on, rest of 2024. Let's see what you got. Can you top the Stanley? Because I don't think you can.
I don't think so.
No. Would you say, Molly, that Stanley Cups hit different?
God, how are we just getting to this? So good.
Yeah, saying something hits different, definitely a thing. But I've also noticed it become a marketing slogan.
Oh, interesting.
So the local ice hockey team here in the little village of Los Angeles, you may have heard of them, the Los Angeles Kings. Their slogan is "Hockey hits different."
Oh, that's funny.
Because checking into the boards. Yeah. The Australian Open used "Tennis hits different" as its slogan.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. Now it's also a thing that is being overused by sports that involve hitting things.
That's good.
Yeah, it's really arrived. And it's true that, I mean, it's been around, but you're right. It's like peaking. It's right at the moment. It just hits different. Okay, love it. Good one. Also, by the way, it's important to
this slogan not only is a thing.
Plant the flag.
But it hits different.
It hits different. When you use it as marketing, it just hits different, you know?
Yeah, the NFL should be using it next. You're right, Alfie James.
Yeah, might as well. Okay, so my first thing is it came to my attention because it's already become the subject of debate. Should you be doing this? Should you not be doing this? But evidently everybody is in fact doing this little treats thing. just little treats. It's just like you just give yourself little treats. And I've seen them in the – I think it's mostly used in the food department, like as a brief cheat in your diet. Like, oh, but you could just have a little treat. Like you could have one little chocolate egg. It's some sort of – and so there's a whole entire thetakeout.com article about how they have benefits and you shouldn't shame yourself if you're having a little treat. Like it's just a little – treat. Just have one little
treat
and treat yourself. Yeah. Right.
It's like so treat yourself, that. But little.
Exactly. But but I think little treats has also has been applied to like coffee, like over the top sugary coffees. I just need a little treat. And then I think it's starting to be applied to like
four course meals.
I need a small Porsche. You know, like
just need a little Porsche. A little treat.
I think there might be like a little bit of like little treats culture starting to
develop. Yeah.
Yeah.
That tracks because humans take everything too far.
Right.
So, you know, I 100% support the idea that if you can keep it infrequent and little, that sure. Little treats are important. They are good. Like that you shouldn't be constantly denying yourself because then you'll overreact later and buy a big treat. But also little treats can slowly grow.
Exactly.
The little treat mission creep is something to be aware of.
Which is why you have articles like the everygirl.com's just how much are your little treats affecting your financial goals? Or you have an InStyle article about the benefits of little luxuries that proclaims hashtag treat culture is a thing. I'm sorry, where's our royalty check?
Thank you.
Hashtag treat culture is a thing. Dig in. And then you've got, they're quoting this actress saying, my toxic trait is thinking I deserve a little treat every time I leave the house. And she's referring to advent calendars, jewelry, Hello Kitty stickers, like
Lamborghinis.
Exactly. This little treat thing is everywhere.
Here's what I think the conundrum is.
Just need a little treat.
if you need to justify the little treat, if you're like, listen, I should be, you know, being better, but I'm just doing a little treat. Then you're going to abuse the privilege of the little treat. The people who can just have a little treat once a day and not abuse the privilege probably don't need to think of it as a little treat.
The examples of little treats are also amazing. Like these are things that I just can, like there's like 17 lip gloss recommendations that count as little treats. Rainbow star stickers, a Sunday afternoon workout at New York Pilates, a tahini coffee shake, Stila eyeliner, Sharpies in every color.
Some of those are getting big.
Yeah. In love with this. This is, yeah. I know some of those are getting big. Clarins lip oil, AMC Stubbs A-list.
What? No, that's not a little treat.
Or AMC a white Stubbs fringe.
A-list.
Or a white fringe leather pouch from Bottega Veneta.
Yeah.
Which is $2,800.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Just a little treat. I guess it depends on your disposable income. $2,800 could be a small percentage.
Just need a little treat.
Just a little treat
every time I leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious.
That's funny. Yeah, that's good. I love this one. Little treats.
I like it. I'm going to start saying this a lot, I think.
And if you can manage it, I say go for it.
How is it affecting your savings goals? Just think about how it's affecting your savings goals.
Just make sure to keep it little and infrequent and unfun.
And it'll be fun. I know. I'm just thinking that. I'm like, we're just going to suck all the fun out.
Just make sure that you don't enjoy it at all and it'll be just fine.
You know something is a thing when the think pieces that suck all of the fun out of that thing become a thing.
The thing themselves. Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Here's one I heard just this week and then found out that it's been kicking around for quite a while. Situationship.
I'm so, once again, so mad that I did not think to bring this to the show. I've been seeing this all over.
Yeah. This is when you are in a casual relationship that you have not, tell me if I've got it right, you have not yet had the conversation that defines the relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And it is a casual relationship that's more than a friends with benefits. So it's like, mm-hmm. you're kind of dating, but you haven't like talked about it. You haven't said you're dating. You might still be seeing other people.
You haven't put a label on it.
And it's a real bit of a bête noire, I think, in the dating world right now, too. It's like, because the beginning of every relationship, I think, is probably a situationship. You know, like you're not.
That seems natural. Yeah.
That's natural. That's normal. And then it seems that it got a name because it just seems to like not go away. And some people really like them because, you know. It's casual. It's flexible. Like I can completely, I 100% see the appeal of something that's not all consuming.
Right.
Where you're just like, this is what works right now. But there's also a lot of angst about like, oh, I thought I was moving toward dating someone and here I am in a situationship again.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like situationship, if I'm reading it right, is used when it's started to stick around, right? When it's mm-hmm. not like the first week, it's like, oh no, this needs a name, but we're not giving it a name. So I'm in a situation. It's a situationship.
Which is, it needs a name, but I'm not giving it a name is just classic, isn't it? Like, yeah, that's so right? America. Uh-huh. Oh, bless America. Yeah. Situationships, huge thing right now.
Yeah. And also, America's in a lot of situationships now that I think about it.
No one's like, yeah, no one's dating. I don't know. It's interesting. But
that's what we want to be at internationally. That's our foreign policy.
We did have this pretty big commitment, but now we'd like to revisit parts of that.
I don't know. Maybe it's on again, off again.
Article 4.
You know,
like, do we really have to defend everybody in NATO?
In the treaty? Are we out of the treaty? I don't know. It's a situation ship.
It's a situation ship. My dog has just decided that he's in a deep hate relationship with the dog bed. He just
what is he doing?
He tore the blanket off of it and now he's rolling around and like digging at it like a little like terrier.
He's breaking up with his dog bed?
Yeah. They're having it out right now. It's serious. He's like, I want a commitment. Tired of the situationship right here.
This is over.
Oh, that's so good. Well, one thing you can do with all the time that you have because you're not in a committed relationship, you're just chilling with a situationship, is just redo your entire house in neutral colors and turn yourself into a sad beige mom.
So we've left maximalism in this case.
Apparently the backlash to maximalism is sad beige, which I think we have talked around. Like I think we got an email about beige.
Yeah. Yeah.
We maybe even mentioned sad beige, but sad beige moms and sad beige parents in particular is a subculture that we have yet to really stick the thing pin in. And it is time. And once again, I know that it's time because there's an article from January 13th, 2024 in Parents Magazine titled, Please Stop Shaming Parents with Sad Beige and Other Labels.
Oh, so it's like, please, it's not sad. It's just beige.
It's not sad. It's just a choice. Neutrals.
It's yeah, just it's beige. Wood tones. It's calming.
Because there was this.
Which it is.
There was this viral video recently, and this is when I put this in the red pen bullpen, because there was this video of this woman who's super into neutral decor spray painting her child's brightly colored toys.
Oh no.
To make them more sad beige neutral. And
yeah, so
the internet lost its mind over this. They were like, sad beige mom has gone too far.
Too far. You've crossed the line this far. No further.
No further.
I think there's something appealing to the wood tone crib set and the shelves and the little stool. But I also think kids need colors. Like that's a kid thing. Bright colors. Yeah. And this idea in this parents.com article that the colors overstimulate, I think is grasping at straws. If kids are overstimulated, I don't think it's the bright colors. But here's what I do think. If you're an overstimulated parent who is tired of your overstimulated child, you are longing not to look at those colors anymore. So this is not about the kids. This is about calming down the parents.
Yeah. I also think it's like, it's about your Instagram look, right? I mean, this monochromatic, like the,
yeah,
it's not these parents out here being like, I can't look at any more primary green and yellow. Like, yes, we all feel that way on some level. But who cares if you're not putting it on Instagram? This is really...
Yeah, you need the Instagram accelerant to make it work.
Yeah,
make it
happen. I mean, this is all about
I see that.
Monochromatic
look. Momochromatic.
Momochromatic. There's an amazing TikTok account called Sad Beige, that Sad Beige lady, where she uses like Werner Herzog voice to be like... I call this one the blank stare into the abyss towards which we are all headed, whether we adorn ourselves in cashmere or clearance.
There's a lot of ancillary colors like linen and cream, I'm noticing, you know. Yep. So you do have a palette.
You have a palette of beige.
Ivory.
I just am amazed that it's like people are like, yeah, teak. It's the sad beige trend. Whatever. Don't care.
Sad beige moms.
Honestly, though, I just started following this lady on Instagram who's like, the neutral palette, something, something. Like, it's beautiful. I'm sorry, but it's beautiful. And I am into maximalism. Like, but as you can see from the video, a lot of it is just a hair sad beige. A little bit. It's because the other thing is.
To say sad beige?
I'm fascinated by the embrace of it as sad beige, even by the people who practice it. They're just like, yeah, I don't care. I call it that.
Yeah, sad beige. Like, I love it.
Where it starts and gets irresistible is that it's got a Scandinavian design vibe.
Oh, totally.
Which is so irresistible. Like, who doesn't love Danish design? It's gorgeous. It makes me feel inferior just by existing. So, of course, you want that. But yeah, spray painting the baby toys. Oh, sad beige moms.
I do want to eat meatballs off that wood stool.
Right? I mean, a beige little button-up onesie with wooden buttons, like that's...
But even IKEA serves lingonberry sauce. You gotta have a little something in there.
You gotta have a pop. You gotta have a pop of color.
Just to set it off.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
This is a good one. This is a real good one. Sad beige moms. Parents.
Sad beige moms.
Power to the sad beige moms.
You do you, sad beige moms. You do you.
And that is beige. And we know that. And we love it about you. Feedback at itsathing.me, whether you write us in beige or any other color, we accept your emails. We got confirmation on sticker graffiti from Barbara, who writes, Motori, Molly Tom Rich. I can confirm that sticker graffiti is a thing. My husband has a shop, and right outside is a pole that is covered with slap, and this is in Nampa, Idaho.
Get right out of this town. Yeah. That is amazing. And Mike from Denver writes in, hello, thingers. I've seen stickers on signs for different mountain passes and other hard-to-reach destinations for decades. In the past 5 years or so, I've been seeing YouTubers, specifically van lifers and overlanders, put their stickers on signs basically anywhere they are. Here's a link to an article reporting on a, ironically, Welcome to Idaho sign being auctioned off after it had to be replaced because it had so many stickers on it.
Oh, my gosh. God. It's an Idaho thing.
Maybe it's an Idaho thing.
Steven has an unrelated sticker thing. Hi, Tom and Molly. This is something I've been noticing for a few years now, but it seems like I'm seeing it even more frequently, which may just be confirmation bias. Anyway, I work from home, and every day on my lunch break, I will take a walk around the neighborhood. I keep seeing new driver or student driver stickers on cars all around where I live. I've even started seeing jokey versions of the sticker. It has gotten to the point where I'm questioning if these are actual new or student drivers. Do people think that these stickers will make other drivers more polite? It's the only reason I could think of for someone to claim they are a new or student driver if they aren't actually new or a student. Are these stickers a thing?
God, I'm once again filled with irritation because not only are they a thing, I have them.
You have them.
I bought them because all my friends got them and I started seeing them all around town. And I was like, oh, I guess this is the thing that you do. You get a little magnet to put on your bumper when your kid is learning to drive so that people won't be a total a-hole when they're behind said kid to warn them so that people won't tailgate them or just be like jerks or honk at them at stop signs, which I literally had happen when my kid was driving.
Sure.
They're everywhere. Yes. they are 100% a thing. And probably the reason that you're seeing them on cars that don't appear to be driven by student drivers is because it's parents who are buying them and putting them on their own cars when they're teaching their kids to drive.
Yeah. They're and then they just leave everywhere. Them on even when the student isn't driving. So, yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I can't believe what a dingbat I am. They're a huge thing. They're you a total freaking thing.
That's amazing. I had I had no clue. I had all kinds of theories I was going to spin up, but you cracked it. That's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, they are literally what they appear to be. And sometimes the parents are driving the car.
That's fantastic.
You just leave it on there because you're like, but in most cases, they're a magnet. They're not like,
now, I do wonder if people then, like parents go, oh, well, my child is no longer learning to drive, but I did like not being honked at. Maybe I'll just leave that on for a little longer.
I live in the Bay Area, so honestly, I can neither confirm nor deny whether they have any impact on people's care for you when you're driving. I'm just going to assume no, at least around Oakland. But
yeah, they probably just don't work.
Maybe in some towns they do, like Baby on Board.
Yeah, maybe.
But they are the new Baby on Board. No question.
The new Baby
Great
on Board.
Spot. Great spot.
Which doesn't work at all anymore because everyone sees them and there's like, oh, everybody says that.
Yeah. Don't care. Yeah.
Show me your baby.
Prove it. Matt Bat wrote in on a potential car thing. It might be my algorithm distorting my worldview, but I keep seeing Edison Motors all over the place. Topsy is a series hybrid heavy-duty semi-truck diesel engine generator that gives a DC fast charge while the truck drives down the road. It ticks so many boxes because it's right to repair, and so Lewis Rossman interviewed him. Monroe interviewed him because it's an EV. They're rough logging guys, so they appeared on DeBoss. They're Canadian, so they're nice. I wouldn't be surprised if the host of Everybody in the Pool interviews him in the near future. This is incredible. I've never heard of this. This is amazing.
Yeah, don't know anything about it.
Edison Motors.
I'm going to guess, Matt Bat, that it probably is your algorithm affecting your perception of this, but that does not mean it's not becoming a thing.
And it's super cool. And now I'm going to be looking. Because, yeah, I mean, I don't really look that closely at semi-trucks usually, but now I will.
Now, fascinating. What if, dang, Matt Bat, what if this isn't a thing, but Matt Bat asking us if it's a thing causes you to interview them and then they get exposure and then it becomes a thing?
Exactly. That's what I'm hoping will be the case.
That's how
this
things
thing
happen.
Move 100,000 pounds. And it's a giant EV motor.
No.
What? Okay, well, thanks for the tip.
Yeah,
let's go ahead and make this a thing, shall we?
Tip line, feedback, and it's a thing to me. Eric wrote in with some bullpen backup. Rich, I'm a little behind on my It's a Thing episodes, but I just heard the bullpen episode and wanted to support your Antarctica thing. Somehow the YouTube algorithm served up the channel Joe Spins the World by a guy who stayed over winter at the South Pole Station. His tours of the facilities and scientific experiments were very entertainment. So plus one to Antarctica being a thing.
Amazing. And then Scott Reinhart wrote in with the Gen Z inside information. Hello, Mr. T, Molly, Rich, and Tom. Concerning sussy baka, while it is a great term, my 15-year-old said to me that it was very 2020. I asked my 20-year-old college student for clarification, and he also feels that sussy baka is on the decline. Both of these points of anecdata are very Gen Z, though, and it could be greatly different in the Gen Alpha community. The word that is on the rise in Shay Reinhart is bomboclat. It is a Jamaican slang that basically could be used whenever you would use MF-er when not directing that epithet at an individual. So, for example, the cheese slides off your sandwich, bomboclat. You drop your phone on the escalator, bomboclat. Stub your toe, bomboclat. Sometimes shouted in exclamation and sometimes whispered dejectedly. There are tons of bomboclat instances here in Casa del Reinhart. Thanks so much for all the great insights and fun. I'm going to start saying that all the time. That is incredible. I can't stop saying it. Bomboclat.
Bomboclat.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking it up. That's a good one. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There it is right there on Urban Dictionary. Like son of a bee.
Fandango. All right. We have a voicemail. We've definitely talked about Bluey before, but Jose wanted to remind us with a voicemail. So here we go.
While listening to last week's podcast about the dog toys, I wonder if you guys already talked about Bluey, the TV show for kids on Disney Plus that is bigger than anything ever, and everybody loves Bluey. And if you haven't seen Bluey or haven't heard about Bluey, run to the nearest Disney Plus and watch like an 8-minute episode of your choice. Grouchy Granny, Exercise, you pick it. Bluey, it's even made in blue. Like, the colors of the TV show are actually colors that dogs can't see. It's for little kids, but frankly, it's for parents. I have cried. I have laughed. This is like an amazing TV show, and it's everywhere, and it's huge. And I hope you guys watch it, or it's definitely a thing.
Definitely a thing. Confirmed.
I love it. Confirmed. That is excellent confirmation in the most charming way possible. And now I want to see it, I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
Have you not watched a Bluey? I've watched it with my nieces.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't have littles in my life right now. Mm-hmm. I am kind of curious about the sub thing that might be a thing about colors only dogs can see. I don't know if my ducks came, by the way.
Oh, no?
I don't know. I haven't seen them.
All right. Well, hopefully they come soon.
I'm going to be pretty mad. It says they were delivered. All right. I'll do some investigating. We'll see.
Who would steal your ducks?
I mean, no one would steal my ducks. Anyway.
Dogs. Other dogs. Criminal dogs.
Probably other dogs, yeah.
A gang of criminal dogs.
There's some coyotes in the neighborhood. Maybe
probably the coyotes took them.
Taking those, yeah.
It's definitely what happened.
I don't mean to profile coyotes like that, but I'm just saying.
But if the duck fits.
Shady. Bumbleclot. thank you for all the wonderful emails. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to everybody who supports the show at patreon.com/itsathing, especially those of you who support us at the shout out level, because without you, we would not be able to shout you out individually by name in lines from Why the Zenarian Excels from The Zenarian Exponent and The Penman and Artist. And I know that's what you've been waiting for. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
One of you.
You just have been like, when are you going to get to the Zenarian?
And we're like, listen, promoting art history and techniques of American penmanship is important to us. We wanted to do it at the right time.
Exactly. During the shout outs. Here we go. Because AB Puppy makes a specialty of a few lines of Eric Duncan and Laura Abel, thereby giving those lines more attention than can be given them in schools of General Lee Price and less professional Kevin Sill.
Because it's Jake Woods, our specialist in the line Valor Trucks teaches. Mr. Benjamin Forrest stands at the head as a progressive teacher of practical A.J. Venturella and Louis St. Amour. Ms. Gabrielle Cohen, than whom there is no better at beautiful Brian John Forcaro, is an experienced and successful teacher of ornamental Joe Hood.
Mr. Morris Jones, the finest penman of his age in the world, is one of the best instructors in James C. Smith, blackboard writing, round hand, and Mike Aiken's lettering to be found anywhere.
Round hand.
Round hand. Honestly, the children should be taught the penman and the artist these days.
No, the children.
Thank you so much for listening to It's a Thing, for supporting us at patreon.com/itsathing. If you join your fellow patrons there, you will get access to our Discord and an ad-free RSS feed of this very show.
And if you would like to support the show by buying some things through our affiliate links, go to itsathing.me/shop and send us your things. Cost you nothing but the price of an email. feedback@itsathing.me.
See you next week, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Think of the children.
Think of the children. Teach them to write.
Round hand.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.